in Psalm 42. We're going to read Psalm 42 and 43 tonight. They're basically a continuation. And there are many a Bible student that thought they were originally one psalm. And that's okay. Psalm chapter 42, when you find your spot, if you're physically able, would you stand out of respect to the reading of God's word? And we'll read responsively chapter 42. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. You read the even-numbered verses. And then chapter 43, we'll switch it. Amen. And we've got, I think, 16 verses here tonight. Psalm chapter 42, to the chief musician Maskil, for the sons of Korah, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from deceitful and unjust men, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I a mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. One of the characteristics of the Psalms that make them so truly beloved amongst God's people is that they are filled with humanity, and particularly human struggles to which people can easily relate. So many of the Psalms were written in days of great difficulty, and they reflect the seemingly never-ending battle between doubt, discouragement, and depression against faith and trust in God. Amen? You could see it so clearly in this text. how the psalmist, forgive me, vacillates between the two. There's times where he's trusting God, and there's times where he's pouring out his complaint to God. I think about sometimes doubt and discouragement and depression are byproducts of sin undealt with. And that is this, ladies and gentlemen. When we have unconfessed sin in our lives, we will doubt God. We will doubt God. When we have unconfessed sin in our lives, it will lead to discouragement, for we are not obeying God, whom we know is right. To him that doeth to do good, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17 tells us. And it will certainly lead to depression. I happen to think that this, all three of these characteristics must have summed up David in the year between the time where he sinned with Bathsheba and Nathan came and confronted him. That he must have had doubt. Listen to me. If you have committed adultery and murder a man and have not dealt with it with God, God is not speaking to you. God is not dealing with you. And by the way, the same goes for bitterness and unforgiveness and every other sin of the heart. Listen, thank God he says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother Casey already died for him. Amen. He's already paid for him. He just wants us to be in fellowship with him and confess them. So discouragement, depression, and doubt can sometimes be the byproduct of sin undealt with. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, they're just the byproduct of sorrow. Just sorrow. Legitimate sorrows and heartaches, which are part of life in this sin-cursed world, can overcome and overwhelm us. You say, well, that would never happen to me. Well, I think you're a bit presumptuous. Sorrows can lead to doubt and discouragement and depression. You know, something else, not only sin and sorrow, but slander. Slander can lead people to doubt and get discouraged and be depressed. When people say things about us that aren't true, and people believe things about us that aren't true. And I know, listen, you say, well, you know what, your integrity, who you are before God, that's what matters. Yes, it does. Amen, I understand that. But it still can cause doubt when someone comes to you and says, you know, I know you did this because this person told me you did this. And you say, I didn't do that. It can cause doubt. It can cause discouragement. You know what else causes doubt, discouragement, and depression? This old sinful nature that we have. You know, Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another. Your old flesh can lead you to doubt. Your old flesh can lead you to be discouraged. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it's just Satan. Not only is it our sinful nature, and not only is it slander or sorrow or sin, sometimes it's just Satan. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, speaking of the armor of God, it says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'm here to tell you something. Satan has what seems like a constant fiery dart ministry. He's always hurling those darts at us. You know, I think about some people in the Bible that got discouraged and depressed and doubted. Hey, everybody remember what Elijah did on Mount Carmel? Did he call down fire? By the way, after he prayed back rain? And he slaughtered all those false prophets? What happened? Just a chapter later, we find him under a juniper tree, requesting of himself that he might die. How about John the Baptist? The one who stood and said to old King Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. They put him in prison. And he said about Jesus, are you him or should we look for another? Brother Mark, that was the same one who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. See, that's just a satanic attack led to his doubt and discouragement. Anybody remember the story of John Mark? Yeah. on the mission field, serving the Lord, for whatever reason, he got to doubting, he got discouraged. And by the way, I love at the end of Paul's life when he says, take Mark, for he's profitable. Because Paul was the one that said, we ought not take that quitter with us next time. I love that. But doubt and depression and discouragement, they come. The psalmist here, and there's no clear record of who wrote this psalm. Some people think it's David in flight from Absalom, and there are some that think it's a captive Levite that was missing the worship of Jerusalem, and some think it's King Jehoiakim as he was being carried away to Babylon, and others think King Hezekiah. Whichever was the writer, by the way, that's why it's wonderful to know the Holy Spirit is the writer of the Bible. But whichever one it was, they were certainly down in the dumps, weren't they? Whoever the human writer was of these two psalms, they were down in the dumps. And they were perplexed by the difficulties of life in trusting God. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit records a battle plan for us on the eternal pages of Holy Scripture in combating being down in the dumps. I would ask tonight, but it'd be almost a rhetorical question if we've ever been down in the dumps. I think all of us would raise both hands and probably one leg too. Yeah, I've been down in the dumps for sure. What about when you're down in the dumps? What can we learn from this text here? Well, I want you to notice something. Number one, in a spiritual drought, long for God. In a spiritual drought, long for God. Look at chapter 42, verse 1. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The writer here illustrates his longing for God with one of God's creatures and their need for water. Several times in the Scriptures, God uses the bodily necessities of life as an illustration of man's need for fellowship with Him. In Psalm 63, verse 1, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well? What did he say to her? If you'll drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. And so he's illustrating here that. And notice a few things. Notice, if you would, notice the disturbance in verses 1 and 2. He says, as my heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O my God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is where those who believe that this is a Levite worshiper that is taken captive and away from the temple, this is probably their strongest scriptural argument. This person was obviously hindered from being at the temple and worshiping God, and it just absolutely disturbed them that they couldn't be with God's people in God's house. It so bothered them. Oh, that men and women today had that panting. Listen, I'm talking to the Wednesday crowd, and I know that. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that ought to be in church on a Wednesday night. Yeah. And it doesn't bother them one bit that they're not panting. Hey, listen, when you're in a spiritual drought, long after God. And one of the best things you can do in a spiritual drought is get around God's people. God's people will lift you up. They'll help you. You say, well, they never talk to me at this. Listen. I understand how the devil works, and he puts his thumb on us, doesn't he? You go talk to somebody. You're in a spiritual drought. You go talk to me and long for God. And part of longing for God is longing for God's people. So he's disturbed here that he cannot be. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, as the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, the Holy Spirit penned for all of us, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there's a disturbance. If you look at verse 3 and 4, you see a distress. He says here, my tears have been my meat day and night. Boy, I tell you what, if only we would feel that way when we couldn't be in the house of God. Huh? So that's what he's talking about here. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. I see three things here in these verses. First of all, I see the feast of weeping. The feast of weeping. Some of you have had that feast before. Just seems like you cried till you went dry. Then notice the frequent mocking. He says there's these that say, where's thy God? Where's thy God? Again, thinking that this is a person who's been taken captive and they're saying, yeah, if you really had a God, we wouldn't be taking you captive. But notice what he says. He not only the feast of weeping and the frequent mocking, he mentions the former praising. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I so, at our church, I read articles and people talk about things, and one of the things that a lot of churches, even good churches like ours, are doing away with is handshaking time. They're doing away with it. Just, I said, well, it makes guests feel uncomfortable. And they give some other arguments for it. And I'm going to tell you this. I always say it's the most wonderful time at our church. It is. It's wonderful. You know, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you couldn't move in these aisles. Amen. It was like a salmon swimming upstream. And there was the voice of joy.
Amen.
And praising. And here, this psalmist that yes, he's had a disturbance, and here's his distress. He's had that feast of weeping and that frequent mocking, but the former praising. But I love this. I want you to notice also the discipline in verse 5. And verse 5, of course, is the key verse in this text. It's verse 5 and then verse 11 and then chapter 43, verse 5. There's a discipline here. Yes, he is discouraged. He's in a spiritual drought. And he says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. You see the conflict there. He said, I know you feel rotten. But faith is bigger than feelings. We've got a promise-keeping God.
Amen.
Amen. Right. When I think of this verse, Brother Jeff, I always think of David and Ziklag. David encouraged himself in the Lord. They spake of stoning him, and things were not going his way. And ladies and gentlemen, I use that word on purpose, a discipline. Because listen to me, you have to spiritually discipline yourself when things are going bad to believe God. It is a spiritual discipline, just as much as brushing your teeth and getting up and having coffee, hopefully, and reading your Bible. Maybe you should brush your teeth after the coffee. I don't know which one. Amen. But getting up, reading your Bible, prayer, those are disciplines. And I'm going to tell you something. Still keeping your hope in God when everything around you is flying is a discipline.
Yeah.
It's not easy, as this text well tells us.
Right.
Can't you see? It's like a pendulum. This text is like a pendulum. You got one time said, thou art my rock. Where are you? Amen. Aren't we that way? That's why we love the Psalms. Because it shows us, amen. So, first of all, in a spiritual drought, long for God, like the hart panteth after the water brooks. Secondly, we move from one kind of metaphor to another. In a spiritual drought, long for God. Number two, in a spiritual storm, remember God. See there in verse number 6, it says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And so the illustration, first of all, of a drought, of that deer longing for that water. Here we have the illustration of the storm. The waves are overcoming the psalmist. Ladies and gentlemen, plain and simple, in verse 6 and 7, he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. I think overwhelmed is one of the strangest words in the English language. And the reason is you never hear of somebody being whelmed, and you never hear of somebody saying, you know, I'm underwhelmed. It's just overwhelmed. Amen? It's a strange word. But we know when it happens, don't we? Overwhelmed. I tell you what, the storms of life can engulf us, can't they? The spiritual storms come into our lives. By the way, that's not the time to walk away from God. That is the time, ladies and gentlemen, to remember God. And again, I know I'm talking to a 401 crowd here, senior high Christians. It's a discipline. You know what Paul said when he was literally in the storm of Euroclydon? He said, be of good cheer. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. You know what? When the storms are overcoming you and overwhelming you, you know what you can say in the midst of those storms? Be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. You know what storms can't do? They can't rob you of your salvation. They don't unredeem you. You can't be unborn again because of a storm. Hallelujah. You're safe. Safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of that storm. And so in the midst of the storm, in time of spiritual storm, remember God. Look, if you would, he was not only overwhelmed in verses 6 and 7, but in verse 8 he was overjoyed. Why? Because he remembered some things. Look at what he says. He said, yet the Lord will command his what? Loving kindness. He remembered that God in his loving kind, God loves you. Hey, listen to me. That storm in your life, God still loves you. I even hate the word still there, because he never stopped. Amen? God loves you, and he's kind to you. You know, something else I love in this, he says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night, his song. I remember a friend of mine, preacher friend of mine, he started a while ago memorizing hymns. This guy's amazing. He's memorized all of Philippians, he's memorized all of James, and he started memorizing hymns. And I remember talking about it. I said, what are you memorizing hymns? I said, a lot of us probably have more of them memorized than we think. You could just sing. Especially first verse, amen. You get to second and third, and you're talking about some advanced memorizers there. But I remember asking, he said, well, he said, one day I think they're going to come take the Bibles away. And he said, as soon as they take the Bibles away, they'll take the hymnals away too. He said, why is that? Because there's so much hope in the songs of God. Amen. Hey, you're going through a storm? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Hey, we keep going. There's a, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well. It is well with my soul. You know, it's a discipline. When you're going through a storm, remember God. He says there in verse number, I think it's verse 7. No, verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. So you're in a spiritual drought. What do? Long for God. You're in a spiritual storm. What do? Remember God. Let me give you the last point. In a spiritual night, trust God. Now I realize that each one of those things, drought and storm and night, can be interchangeable. But in particular, he says there in, I think it's verse number 9, he says, I will say unto God, or no, I'm sorry, verse number 3 of chapter 43. Verse number 3 of chapter 43. He says, Oh, send out thy what? Okay. Now, it's a simple question, but why would somebody ask for a light? Because it's dark. It's dark. And here was a time of darkness, spiritual darkness. And what is the recommendation here? What is he saying? What do we do? Trust God. Trust Him. Notice, if you would, the cry in verse 1. He says, Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. He says, Judge me. I'll tell you what. It's not always we can say that. Sometimes we have to say, You are judging me. But here the psalmist says, Look, judge me. If there's something in my life that's causing this, I want to know about it. And he says, Plead my cause and delivered me. And in verse 2 he says, For thou art the God of my strength. And then you see the call in verse 3 we mentioned. He says, Send out thy light and thy truth. Think of how God led his people Israel. Remember? He led them in a cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. Saying, Lead me. You see the consequence if God would send out the light and thy truth, what would the consequence of that be? It's in verse number 4 of chapter 43. It says, Then will I go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. He said, If you'll lead me, I'll praise you. And then you have the confirming, that same verse again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance. Was he going back and forth? He sure was. Do we go back and forth? Brother Horst does, apparently. Nobody else. Yeah, we do. Sure we do. I do. Go back and forth. Sometimes we think in our faith that we've maybe arrived to a certain point. And then we do that. And we think, do I have a mustard seed faith? You know, we all get down in the dumps. All of us. When you're in a spiritual drought, long for God. In that spiritual drought, that's not the time to close your Bible. That's the time to open it. In a spiritual storm, in that spiritual storm, remember God. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. He has purpose in that storm. He's still loving. He's still good. And then in the spiritual night, trust God. Thank God for those promises. They never change whether it's day or night. If they're day in your life, they're the same. If there's a nightfall that's come in your life, I know we have people in our congregation that have experienced great tragedies in your life, something that you would not wish on anyone. I'm going to tell you something. God is still your God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Father, thank You for Your Word and oh, how it ministers to us. Lord, sometimes it shows us our infant faith. Lord, it seems that way, at least in my life. Lord, other times it just lifts us up. Other times it convicts us, or we need conviction. Lord, I pray that You'd help one. If there's one here tonight that may be going through a spiritual drought, maybe someone that's going through a storm or a night in their life, I pray that You would please bless them tonight. Encourage them. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Miss Robin's going to play 261. Trust.